ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 सत्यं विधातुं निजवृत्य भाषितं व्याप्तिं च भूतेष्वखिलेषु चात्मन अदृश्यथात् यद्भूतरूपं उद्वहन् स्तम्भे शभायं न मृगं न मानुषम् Translation. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Purport. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "Where is your Lord? Is he present in this pillar?" Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, "Yes. My Lord is present everywhere." Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half man and half lion, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kaunteya pratijanihi nabe bhakta pranashyati. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotees, saying in effect, "Don't worry, I am present here." By manifesting his form as Nrisingadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. So, an essential aspect that is to be found or understood in the Lord's pastimes. It gets too close. Is that the Lord, he is exchanging his relationship with the devotees. This is what's always going on. Then, along with this, he is also killing the demons. It's a side thing. That is dealing. Krishna says, as you surrender unto him, he reciprocates with you. But he is not coming here just because the demons do not appreciate him. And they deal with him in an improper way. That he takes care of because he comes for the love of his devotees. That affection of the devotees, that's what brings the Lord. So that is, should be understood in this pastime, that it is one of the essential aspects of the pastime, that the Lord had things to do. He appears, yada yada yadharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. He is coming to Paritranaya sadhunam. So sadhu is first. Then? Vinashaya chaduspritam. Then it is killing the demons. So he's attracted because of the devotees. And then, while he is there, then you can do that also. You have a major work to do, so many minor works can also be done on the side. It is not, Krishna himself doesn't personally have to come to kill Hiranyakashipu. Sudarshan, his time, can also destroy him. But Because he had gotten the benediction of Lord Brahma, who is also his devotee. And he had received it in a special way. Therefore, one, that he would not be killed by something that was within this category, otherwise Brahma's words would not be in effect. At the same time, as he wouldn't kill outside those categories, because then otherwise it is also not being kept. So he will be killed. He must be killed. But because of his devotee has said this, and because Prahlad Maharaj has made this point, that yes, God is everywhere. What is your problem? So then Krishna is reciprocating with these devotees, that what they speak is true. They are speaking in conclusion with the Shastras. They are speaking with what they have heard in the Parampara, what Brahma has learned from Krishna himself, what Narad has learned from Brahma, and then what Prahlad has learned from Narad. So the statements and conclusions of the Parampara are being upheld by the Lord. So he is, even though he is independent, he still prefers to act within the realm of relationship. That is what gives taste. But here this is real relationship. This is, the word here is used substantial. That what Prahlad says is substantial, it's real. It is something to do with truth. It is not something of the material world. It's not just another fact or figure. But this is a real truth coming from the spiritual realm. That the Lord is pervading everything. He is upholding. His energies are everywhere. So in this way, then, Krishna is maintaining everything. And he is in everything. So Hiranyakashipu does not believe this. Whatever he sees it as his. Whatever he sees in the material world, he thinks, I am the Lord of the material world. I have conquered it. I've gone around. I've fought fairly, not unfairly. And I have won. So it's mine. So in everything, there's nothing that he sees the Lord in. When he looks at things, he never sees the Lord anywhere. He just sees, yes, it's mine. Here's my upper planets, here's my middle planets, here's my lower planets. He just sees the planets are going around out of fear of him, right? Shastra says, the sun is rising, the moon is rising, the wind is blowing. Everything is working because of fear of the Supreme Lord. So everyone is afraid of Hiranyakashipu. He's got all the planets tied up. He stuck them all in one place so that there would be auspiciousness for the appearance of the sun. Right? You never get all the houses in one, all the planets in one house. But he decided, no, I'm going to have. So he tied them all up. Right? So like this, he is dealing. So in his mind, everything is his. He never thinks that, yes, something is Krishna's. That doesn't cross his mind. Just Vishnu is somehow or another is clever enough to avoid all of his other people, all of his other arrangements, and somehow or another gets in there. He's just so clever. And you know what the scriptures say about being too clever. Ati chalak golai duri. So someone should put the rope, you know, someone should hang Vishnu. He's too chalak. So this will be his mentality. Everything is arranged nicely. Everything's going on perfectly. Like that. And the Lord is getting in the way. So even here we see is that the Lord is reciprocating in such a way to deal with Hiranyakashipu. Means when the Lord deals with anything, he's dealing because there's some taste in it, there's some rasa in it. Some feeling exchange between him and the living entities. But as we mentioned in the beginning, Krishna, according to their surrender, he will reciprocate in that way. So this is important to understand here. Now, Nrisimha is coming not so much because of just the improperly is Hiranyakashipu behaving. That is there. That one does something wrong, one will be punished for that. That is there, of course. But more that one can have, there's maybe so much improper activity maybe there. And that doesn't disturb the Lord so much. Everybody's doing something. Something is going wrong everywhere. Like that. Every living entity is making some mistake. There are so many, the scriptures are so exact that they give us the ability or the chance to engage anything in His service, any activity in His service. And each activity has a rule. You know, even how you breathe, the Yoga Shastras talk about that. What is proper breathing? What is Ayurveda talks about proper eating and digestion, you know, proper resting, all these different things. Everything has been regulated perfectly. But who can follow each and every rule? No one can. Therefore, the Lord knows this, and then what you receive from the spiritual master, what you receive from the parampara, you follow that very sincerely, Krishna accepts. You've made the endeavor, that's the point. You've taken that step towards Him. Yeyatamam prapadyante. You've taken that step. So Krishna is reciprocating with that. He is not worried about that there are so many mistakes being made. And if you make a mistake in these things, it is considered sin. Right? You're doing whatever these things, if it's not done properly or the proper, pious chitti is done, it is sin. It is not pious. So these things Krishna is overlooking. This is not so important to Him. But what is important, because this doesn't establish much rasa, it means you are performing a rule. That doesn't, it's, He's the Lord, He's established the rule, you're following the rule, you're accepting His authority. So that has some flavor. Something is there. Just like it's mentioned, I think, in Vishnu Puran, if you perfectly follow the rules of Varnashram Dharma without making any mistake for 100 lifetimes in a row, then automatically you go back to Vaikuntha. Because you've accepted the Lord's, the rules and regulations of the scripture so seriously and done them so nicely, the Lord is pleased with that. So that endeavor is there. But still, that's just that the Lord is, that He is the Supreme. There's not much reaction. It's through the scripture. The scripture says like this. Now, what is more dear to Him is someone who is performing their activities to please Krishna. And that person who, whatever they do to please Krishna, that person is more dear. Because Krishna is a person, and we want to please Krishna. So He has made some rules, or He has some things that He likes. In some way, we try to do things that will please Him. That pleases Krishna more. So then, if someone offends such a devotee, then this is taken very seriously by Krishna. This is taken more seriously. So therefore, aparad is considered worse than sin. Sin means just a breach in the rules. But that's been going on anyway. Even the most pious person, something he's not doing. Right? Something. But because he doesn't know it, or he hasn't been given that, then that will not be taken so seriously. Like a small child, they may do so many things that are not proper. They will be corrected for that, but no one takes it very seriously. They understand, they're children, they make these mistakes. Once they know, they've been trained, they grow up, then they make the mistake, that's more serious. So those things we know we're supposed to do, that's taken more serious. Those things we don't know about, those are less serious. So Krishna doesn't take that side as seriously. But if the devotee becomes offended by our activity, by our speech, by our whatever we do, that Krishna takes very seriously. That aparad means against worship. Radha means worship, aradhana. So apa aradhana, like that, means that which is against worship, or what perverts the worship, or in some way disturbs the worship. So worship means that is going on by the devotee. It's not the rule, it's the devotee who is performing that activity. Means the rules are there so that the devotees can reciprocate with the Lord. The activities are there so that the devotee can show his affection to the Lord through those rules, through those activities. So now, if we disturb that devotee, then that disturbs the worship. That then, Krishna then considers very bad. Therefore then, he will come here personally himself to kill Hiranyakashipu. Because he's personally taking care of his devotee. He's protecting his devotee. And he is keeping the word of Lord Brahma. So for two devotees' benefit, he is coming himself personally. Then on the side, he is killing. That is not the difficult thing. Like that. He's just plays. We see that when when the Lord appears, then he comes, like first he is just scaring the demons. They hear this sound, they can't tell where it's coming from. And so they being, the so-called controllers of the universe, they feel they know everything, they're in control of everything, they know what's going on. But now, this is the first time that they have found they don't know what's going on. There's a sound, they can't even tell where it's coming from. Let alone what it is. Then, Nrisimhadeva appears, then Hiranyakashipu then immediately thinks, I think he says, what is this? He doesn't even say who. Yeah, he says, what is this creature that is half man and half lion? So it's kind of like, it's not even to the point where poo means, okay, now we're starting to get personal. What is the first thing? You're trying to categorize, where it fits into the whole relationship and how you view the whole, universe. Then after that, then you ask, who are you? What is your name? What do you do? Like that. So he's very bewildered. And so Krishna is taking pleasure in this kind of playing with the demons. He is bewildered who it is. All his demon friends are bewildered. But Prahlad is not bewildered. He knows this is the Lord. Nrisimhadeva has come to protect him. So then Prabhupada points out that by this activity, then Nrisimhadeva is showing Prahlad, yes, I am here. You have stated that I am here. You have been always depending upon my protection. So I am here. You don't have to worry. Then, once he appears, then he comes out, and then he grabs Hiranyakashipu, and then he lets them go, and then he grabs them again, and he lets them go. So like this, he's playing with them. It's not a very big difficulty for him, like that. He just catches it, something to do, because then when he catches them, then the demon becomes more enthusiastic and becomes more upset and more angry and tries to, in more ways, try to, perform his fighting activity. And this pleases the Lord to see this endeavor, though it's futile, but whatever. But then when he lets them go, just for fun, just to give him some encouragement that he is very strong and all that. Because fighting means there is the chivalry. It's not so much the winning part, it's just the chivalry, the fighting, the rasa of fighting. But then the demigods become very disturbed. Because they're devotees, but they're not like Prahlad. Prahlad knows he will protect me no matter what. Even if he doesn't protect me, what does it matter? I will go back to him. I will always be with him. So I'm always there. But the demigods, because of their materialistic desires, they're not that firm in their faith. So as soon as Hiranyakashipu gets let go, immediately they're afraid. Oh no, the demon may win. Something may happen. And then if the demon wins, then again they carry on. You got this Hiranyakashipu managing the universe, and that doesn't exactly fit in with their plans. The plans that they had for enjoyment and control and, position and fame, somehow or another is not working out. So, someone who's more serious about these things than them, then they're getting all the facility. So they're worried about this. Or, at best they're worried about dharma and other aspects like that. They're still within the material realm. So because their faith is not so strong that when he lets them go, then they get disturbed. So then, like this a few times, then he doesn't want to disturb the demons anymore. So then he picks them up and kills them with just his ends of his nails. It's not a difficulty for him. So that is the side thing. That the main thing is that he's come to protect his devotee and show that he takes care of his devotee. When the devotees are offended, the Lord is there. He takes care. He protects them. And then when they are protected, then they also feel that it is the Lord who is taking care. Like that. They don't just think, oh, it's my good luck, or, you know, some other thing. But the Lord, through his devotees, personally, or by some amazing arrangement, then he is taking care of the devotees. So these points should not be overlooked in understanding these things. Because as we progress in spiritual life, we must start to see the Lord actually as a person who deals and reciprocates with the devotees. And this reciprocation is very, very sweet, very wonderful. So even in this very, I guess you could say, from the material point of view, it would not have been a pleasant situation. The roaring of Nrisingadev, the size of Nrisingadev, his mane was in the clouds. The clouds are being moved from his mane moving. So he was quite large. And you can imagine, we see an elephant, which is not so big. And it can make so much noise. So you can imagine if you have something that reaches up to the clouds and is making some noise. Not only that, they're upset. And they're not just upset about themselves, but they're upset about their devotee. So the sound itself would be very... And then, you know, then you're opening up Hiranyakashipu, taking out his entrails and putting them on his garlands. And, you know, it's quite... But I think when Jadarani first painted the painting of Nrisingadev, a little bit of blood around Hiranyakashipu's stomach. Prabhupada saw it, says, no, plenty of blood. It should be more. Adds to the whole flavor, the rasa of the Lord is given. So in that situation, though, we see that Prahlad was not afraid. Because if he became afraid, then that would mean that relationship is very, very formal. Otherwise, even he would become formal upon receiving the Lord, when the Lord comes. But we see that either due to his affection and due to the reciprocation of the Lord, that affection is so much that even in this very, very rough situation, very, very, gory situation. Ghastly, yes. Ghastly situation. Then Prahlad is not disturbed. He's still smiling. He's coming with his garland to receive the Lord. And then, but all the demigods, everybody, they cannot understand the relationship with the Lord, how to approach the Lord, anything. They're also very bewildered in all this because they cannot understand the relationship. Lakshmi is even afraid because she doesn't know how to approach or serve the Lord in this form. So when you don't know relationship, it establishes fear. So even she was afraid, though it was spiritual, because she was afraid, you know, where's my relationship with the Lord? Well, the demigods were afraid that he's so angry, he might also burn us to ashes or kill us. And that they were not overly interested in. So like this, then they were very disturbed. But Prahlad was not. So Prahlad could easily go, sit with the Lord, talk with the Lord, and reciprocate with the Lord. So we see that no matter what the situation is, one can feel that presence of the Lord, feel that reciprocation of the Lord. And in this way, one will be very, very happy, very satisfied. So this is important that the devotees understand that the pastime is there, but then the pastime is there because it's the Lord's pastime with his devotees. The Lord is reciprocating with the devotees, and that creates the happiness or the very nice atmosphere that is going on. That is the... Any questions on this? Seem to have put everyone to sleep with this one. Yes.
In your description, you described how the Lord's mane was waving the clouds. Then we also know that with his nails, he then pierced Hiranyakashipu, then he took his entrails, etc. So how do we understand these dimensional sort of incongruities that his name can be in the clouds, and yet it's also has his nails down at the ground of his feet. It seems a little, when you try to picture it, it is, doesn't
fit. These proportions of the Lord, how do they... it seems to be the main is when he first appears, then he takes this very, very big size. Then after that, for, you know, fitting in the doorway, because he has to kill him within, not inside, not outside, so he has to fit into one of the doorways of the palace. I'm sure probably the biggest. So then in that one, then he will fit inside. So the Lord does these things. Some of them are he's even bigger. He stays big. There's one in the Hari Bhakti Shurodoy. Then there's a description that Hiranyakashipu, I think he came in the front gate first. He didn't come from the pillar. And he walked in the front gate and he was so angry that anything... Huh? Yeah, Nisshingadev. Oh, I'm sorry. Not Hiranyakashipu. Yes, Nisshingadev. So Nisshingadev, he came in the front gate and just anywhere he would look, it would start burning. Fire would start. And so then first the army came out. And then he fought with the army and killed all the army. He took the thousand armed form first. Then he came in contact with Hiranyakashipu. Then he took the eight armed form. And then was fighting with him. Because when he deals with Hiranyakashipu before he kills him, then that's when he's the most angry. Then that's the eight armed form. Then he was still that big, you know, because he came from outside. And then he, with his end of his fingernails, he picked him up and he threw him up into the air. And while Hiranyakashipu was going up into the air, he was looking down at Nisshingadev. And actually, at that moment, there was inspired in his heart some little bit of awe, a little bit of reverence that this guy's powerful. I got to hand him this much, you know. It's like I have to respect that, you know. No one else has been powerful. Here's someone who's powerful. So while he was falling through the space, he was holding his hands in the pranam mudra. And then, you know, Nisshingadev was such an expert, you know, aim. And when he threw him, then when he came down, he came and landed right on his lap, and then he bifurcated him with his nails. So then, there he stayed, very, very big. Another time, it was also, I think he was even more big, that after he bifurcated with his nails, then Nisshingadev was looking around what happened to Hiranyakashipu. He thought maybe the demon escaped, so he's looking here, looking there, couldn't find Hiranyakashipu anywhere, like that. And then after being bewildered for some time, he stopped and thought, then he shook his hands. And Hiranyakashipu came out from under the nails. So he was so big at that time that Hiranyakashipu was so small he got caught under the nail like some dirt or something like that. So sometimes he takes these different sizes. I think also when he killed the army, he took a bigger size. So like that, he'll change according to the situation.
Now, I have to remember that it takes place at the palace of Indra. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what that was the seat that was occupied by Hiranyakashipu. So I mean, the dimensional aspects of where the demigods live are a lot different from our tiny 3D world that we have here.
That's a very good point. Hari Sarikarbu points out is that being in Indra's seat, things are a lot bigger there than what we're used to here, our small situation here. I mean, even here, you know, Godzilla is so big, you know, King Kong, let alone Nisshingadev. I think it's also mentioned when Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were first born here on the earth, then they grew up to the size immediately, as soon as they hit the ground, they grew up to immediately the size of, I think, Mount Meru. So they just immediately manifested this huge demoniac forms. So they also had that ability to become very, very big. They had all, you know, the mystic potencies and all powers. But, you know, they were not ordinary demons. female. And parents were very, very powerful, very qualified, but unfortunately, they were not so, how do you say, they were not very Krishna conscious at the moment of conception. So they had very powerful demons for kids. And so that size aspect is a very, very important thing to understand, is they could take these big, big forms. And I think also Yajnavaraha, he was very big also, because he would just carry the earth on his snout. And Hiranyaksha was that big to fight with him.
I'm just thinking that in regards to that question, that we can't, there's no sense, we're talking about God. So no, measurement becomes irrelevant. It's just like the story of threading the needle with the elephants, with Narad and the, so it's, you know.
That's also a very good point. That the
it's a matter of
Yeah. We know that the Lord can do all of these things. So since He is playing also to such an audience, the demigods are there and this and that, and the demons, so the aspect of inspiring faith or awe is also an important aspect of the pastime. So take
now Shraddha, we become busy in measurement, or what we call mechanized science.
I see. So you're saying that the modern mechanized scientists are not theologists?
They just proved the other day that the Big Bang
is real or unreal?
It's real.
Oh, it's real.
They found some glowing thing somewhere.
They found the fuse. Now they got to find the guy with the matchbox. That's what they really have to find.
It was interesting you made that point about how just when he got flung in the air, then finally he got a little bit of awe and reverence and a bit of respect. And it just reminded me of what Prabhupada comments about Banasura in the Krishna book, that he had 1,000 arms and he was so powerful that nobody could defeat him. And out of frustration, he used to beat mountains to pieces, tiny pieces. Yeah. And he was always wondering when he would get a worthy opponent. And Prabhupada said that's the mentality of the demons, that, you know, they only have respect for somebody that can, for the person that comes along who will eventually beat them. And that's the only way that you can make them have respect, is that when they actually get beaten, then they think, oh, finally.
Yeah. That's a very, very thick and, what do you call it? There's a thing in logic, it's called the logic of the fish. I forget what it is. Something Matsyanyaya, which means the rule of the fish, means the bigger fish wins. You have a little fish, and the big fish eats him, then a bigger one eats him. So it's said that when you don't follow the religious principles, then it degrades down to that kind of management. Who's biggest, they win. Like that. But it's interesting is that you brought out is that they actually respect that. So you see, like in the very rough or uncivilized, you know, cultures, that whoever's the biggest and nastiest, everyone else follows, respects, and, you know, they're very proud. He's our leader. You know, you know, he's rougher and nastier than anybody. Means regarding Ahoglam. So it's that there's a phenomena called Kalpa Veda. It means that some pastimes happen many, many, many times. Like Lord Ramachandra. Basically, that is happening practically that I understand every Treta Yuga. So that's going on. So each time they do, there'll be a little variation. Because it's pastime, so they always make some variation. like that, like we see Varaha's appearance, there's two Varahas. There's a Sweta Varaha, which is white, and then there's the Varaha who kills Hiranyaksha, who's red, reddish color, like that. So, like this, so in also in many, many times, this pastime with Nrisimhadev and Hiranyakashipu is manifest. But in this particular one that's described in the Bhagavatam, as Harisarikari Prabhu pointed out, this is on the heavenly planets. He's in Indra's seat. But at some point, it also happened there in Ahobalam. You know, the pillar is there, the palace is there, you can see it's very big. I think the pillar is like 30 feet across or something. It's very, very big pillars. You can see it was a massive place. Because this would not have been this yuga, so things would have been... Muchukunda was from... What, he was from Dwapara? No, Treta. From Treta, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when he woke up and came out of the cave, he saw all the trees. There are no big trees. They're all like little shrubs and bushes. So he understood that it was now Dwapara Yuga. So then he went to the Himalayas. And just so the size differences were very, very great. So sometime it would happen there. Because there's also the pastime, the... not Paranasinga, the other one, Mangalagiri. There's the deity there where Nrisimhadev is always covered in chandan. It looks like a Shiva Linga. Because except on Nrisimha Chaturdasi, that's the only day they open the chandan and you can have darshan. Otherwise, they immediately start putting chandan again. They said they don't keep them just packed in chandan. They get so angry it'll burn the universe. So they always keep them covered. So that is the place where the demons threw Prahlad Maharaj off of the mountain into the sea. And then Nrisimhadev took the form of Varaha to catch him. And then, you know, that pastime is described very nicely in the Nrisimha Purana. Like that. Then Prahlad Maharaj was there on the beach. He had darshan of the Lord. And many, many things happened. So then... but that was, so you get the Varaha Nrisimha deity. It's Nrisimhadev, but he's taken that mood because he wants to pick something up, catch something. Then he does that as Varaha. He likes catching things on his snout. So Nrisimhadev took the form of Varaha to catch Prahlad. So that also happened in south, all kind of that similar area. But that was on the ocean.